Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and it is my pleasure to welcome Peter Fairfield, author of Deep Happy. As Peter suggests, everyone wants to be happy. Nobody wants to be in pain, and everybody to some degree experiences suffering, whether it is called stress, pain, or spiritual transformation. Our world is experienced through our emotions, and we cannot disconnect from them, as they have so much to tell us. Hello, Peter, and welcome.
Well, thanks, Cheryl. It's great to finally be here. We aren't going to let some big wind keep us from doing this.
No, not even a hurricane could stop this. Peter.
Although I certainly send my heart out and best wishes to everybody that's still, you know, having difficulty back there. It must have been horrendous.
The East Coast is struggling right now, but I think a great deal of good will eventually come out of this. Peter, as listeners of Healing From Within know, it is the goal of this show to provide ways for understanding how to utilize universal energies, higher and more sensitive thinking, and to create a balanced emotional life as we evolve as humans in this world, which is designed for change, and to realize health and happiness is possible when we discover who we really are. So our show today, and you and I, will seek to share a clearer view of how to improve our state of happiness, which, as you and I know, ultimately depends on our own efforts for learning, sharing, producing, and accepting ourselves and others. Peter, let me just tell the audience a little bit about your background. Peter Fairfield has spent the last 25 years extensively studying Western science and the spiritual healing systems in Nepal, Tibet, India, Thailand, and China, and absorb much from the Taoist and Qigong traditions, working with Tibetan lamas and yogis and Moroccan Sufis. He is a certified acupuncturist and renowned healer and teacher, and has searched all over the world for ways to achieve healing for others and to show the way to happiness. So, Peter, just briefly, tell us something about your interesting life, your travels, and some of the remarkable people you have encountered along the way.
Well, you just described about a 10-hour show. So I'll try to narrow it down. And by the way, I've done this for 41 years now, not 25. I don't know what 25 is. But anyway, I had a profound experience as a little boy. And when I was about 8 or 9, somebody told me about infinity. And I just could not imagine something that didn't begin or end. And that's how it was described to me. And so I decided I would try to feel it. I didn't realize that that was a weird thing for a little kid. But so
Not really, Peter. There are a lot of us who have this sensitivity and a life purpose to be born to experience these energies so that we can help others know the truth about their life as a physical and spiritual being. We actually start to experience these things as children. I did, and you did, and so many others on my show have also had that experience. But please tell us about it.
Okay. So anyway, I decided that I would try to feel it. So I would, just without realizing it was weird for a little kid to do, I would close my eyes, and I would just try to feel the place that went on forever. And then finally, after a few months, one day I did. I got to that place that didn't begin or end. And I went, oh, so that's what this is.
How did it feel to be in that place? Probably you didn't feel your body, you just felt yourself.
It felt very normal. That was the surprising thing. It just felt really, really normal. And so it was just like, oh. And what I realized later, many, many years later, I was doing retreats in the Himalayas, and I realized that that experience had been something that had created a bridge and had come over from another time and another place.
Absolutely.
And so that was the beginning. So I spent a lot of time, you know, in my late teens looking at drugs, sex, and rock and roll as an attempt to find something spiritual. I gave a lot of extra time just to make sure that wasn't it, but wasn't really quite it. And then when I was about 18, I learned to meditate, and from then on, I spent lots of time in different communities and ashrams and so forth, learning and experimenting with different spiritual techniques and different viewpoints. And by the time I began to study acupuncture, eventually went on to study acupuncture all over the world, and I founded an acupuncture school. And so now I've been doing acupuncture over 40 years. And my main study all over the world has been the physiology of the consciousness, like what spirituality was, and what does it mean to work with somebody, and what is enlightenment? And as a person who works with people in emotional and physical illnesses, what does enlightenment have to do with it? How could I apply it in the clinic? And so I developed a very deep synopsis of personality based on Eastern and Western physiology that really, I think, fairly clearly looks at what the emotions are, what feelings are, you know, how we get stuck in these patterns, you know, how our bonding issues from our parents get carried over. And I have a fairly succinct system that I work with people, both in our clinic in Mill Valley, California. I do a lot of work with people on the phone all over the world, actually. And so, really, you know, I spent the last 40 years developing this and trying to find a place to help people.
Well, you found out, as I have through my Reiki energy work, that we are very much more than we appear to be, that our energetic field can travel beyond time and space. We can communicate with people in ways that, not this way, like we're communicating right now in this show, and that we are very powerful, magnificent beings of eternal life. But Peter, what is it you believe we, through all your travels, what is it you believe we all seek, though our words might vary in how we express it?
Well, I call my book Deep Happy, because what I discovered was inside us, and I'm certainly not the first one nor the last one to discover this. I think most spiritual traditions talk about it. There's a place inside us that's already happy.
Yeah.
There's a place inside us that's not affected by the vagaries of personality and difficulty in the physical world. And once we begin to uncover it, it's already there. We don't need to buy it or get it or anything. It's already there. It's already this place inside us that everyone can go to. And in that process of going there, then what happens is we can live there. And then from that place, not only do we have a balance and a place that's safe in the chaotic world, but it's also a place that gives us information and wisdom. And it's a place where we communicate directly to the infinite universe, and where the infinite universe communicates directly to us.
You know, Peter, in your book, there was a quote that you used that I believe goes along with this, by Ramana Maharshi. Is that how it's pronounced? Maharshi.
Yes, Ramana Maharshi, yes.
Yes. And the quote is, happiness is your nature. It is not wrong to desire it. What's wrong is seeking it outside when it is inside. And I think you were just describing that. But you also described vitality, energy, and intelligence, or higher thinking. And how can you define that? Because I think that's what people want. They want to feel safe. They want to feel connected to life. They want a healthy body. And they want something meaningful and interesting to do with their life. And, of course, where does love fit into this definition?
Well, yes, of course. You know, but it doesn't mean that we have to walk around with a smile plastered on our face all the time either. The day, actually, that I sent my manuscript into Wiser Books as a finished book, I went to the mailbox that day, and I found a letter from the IRS saying I owed $78,000, which was...
that's a heavy hit.
So as it turned out, eventually I didn't know anything, but what I got was an instant course in what deep happy was. And what I discovered was I could feel kind of worried and upset and, you know, angry at the outside, but in the inside I could go into this place of deep happy and I could be just fine. And
yeah.
I could realize that I was okay, and I could be curious how the universe was going to guide me through this one. And that's exactly what happened. I ended up not owing a dime, but this was my final exam to be able to be the author of Deep Happy.
You know, you discuss in your book transient happiness, which you say is, oh, that's just something that happens to us. You know, we receive a new job, we have a baby, we take a trip, we go to see a show. Those are just things that give us momentary happiness. But deep happiness, can you describe that, where it's really coming from? It's a state of mind, I believe.
Well, it's not just a state of mind, because it's actually a biological imperative. You know, there's a place inside all of us that's okay. There's a place inside all of us that's beneath the personality, it's beneath the habits that we learn, the traumas that we take on, and the issues that we learn from our parents and so forth. But without even realizing we're learning them, we just grow up with it, and all of a sudden that's what's happening. But there's a place inside of us that's within that. And that's also the part that doesn't change. I think most people will remember perhaps a moment where they looked in the mirror and they saw themselves, maybe they're older, but that they don't feel any different than they did when they were in high school. I'm 63. And when I look in the mirror, I my body looks a little different, but there's a part of me that's still the same old guy with a bad sense of humor and a curiosity and a passion for life that has never, ever changed.
I agree with
and
you.
And so
that deep happiness is that soul essence or eternal connection to life and love and the expansion of growth or curiosity about being here and being in that place you described when you were a kid of that infinity. So we're eternal. So we are an essence. So we don't really see the aging process because within we are always of a curious and evolving nature, right? Would that be what you would feel would be the place that all of us wish to discover? Many of us have forgotten it, and if we can remember it, it can help bring us back to that state of happiness, I believe. But you just mentioned something very important. Now, who has taught us to protect or guard ourselves from these wonderful internal thoughts and deep wisdom so that we keep feelings and emotions locked in our body when really, if they were released, we would not have as much suffering, sickness, or depression. So why do we hold on to these patterns and behaviors, and who set it up for us? Because as young children, we didn't really have so much of that.
Well, we did, actually. We did, because we grew up often in families where, you know, it's very common for a family to feel angry when they're hurt and hurt when they're angry, or to suppress feelings altogether, or to have a father or mother that's violent or suppressed or depressed or something else, and the whole family has to tiptoe around that. Or you have a family dynamic where one person is considered the bad person and everybody else takes their stuff out. One of the things I've done, and it's the basis of how I work with individuals, is I look at really what bonding, the bonding the patterns that happen in the physical body. It's not just in the head. Emotions are not in the head. I'm sorry about my bird chirping in the background. I hope that's not too
Okay. That's okay. But yes, so the feelings and emotions are buried in our cellular structure and have to be removed from that.
I know this is a common thing, but I'm going to disagree with that. A lot of people say, oh, cellular memory, but the cells are small, and they have a memory about how they're supposed to function, how they're supposed to process energy and metabolites and so forth, but it's the bigger structures, it's the organs. Now, in Chinese medicine and also Vedic medicine, Tibetan medicine, most of your Asian medical systems, there's a very clear physiology of how the emotions are in relationship to the physical body, the patterns of what is depression, what is anxiety, what is fear, what is desire, and so forth, can be much more clearly mapped out within the physiology from these Asian systems. And what work I've done looking at the polarity, how the polarity shifts between the back and the front and so forth based on our brain patterns, all of these things are patterns that create shapes of functions, almost like constellations of functions in the physical body, which means that it's much easier then to go ahead and undo them, to change them, to make it so these habits don't affect us so much or at all anymore. And that's the good
part.
Then
I think families and society have helped keep us in this state of unawareness of our true needs, and some people to deal with that become numb, or they go the other extreme and they use excessive stimulation of things in the world to protect against being uncomfortable. And what you're saying is, yes, we can learn to balance and clear the organs and the body and the thoughts to have a level of acceptance. And that's a state of deep happiness when we can resonate with everything from the outside, because we know from within we have all the wisdom and knowledge to keep ourselves in a state of health and balance. But other people think, oh, life is hard. I've heard this from people. And I don't agree. I don't think we're here to suffer. I think we can create and manifest the best results by working with our physical body and our spiritual energetic body. But can you tell us about the three words that are part of the pattern of suffering so that people can understand exactly why they're creating suffering for themselves? And you described it very simply, and I loved it. I love the way you said that these words are indeed the truth of why so many people are unhappy and dissatisfied. Do you remember?
No, I hate to admit this, but I don't remember what those three words are.
All right. I wrote it down because I loved it so much, and I agree with you that this is it. But you can tell us about it when I tell you the words. The words are desire, aversion, and ignorance.
Oh, and ignorance. Oh, okay. All right. Yes. I didn't understand it. You know, that's actually from the Buddha. The Buddha said there are three causes of suffering.
Yes.
There's desire, aversion, and ignorance. So desire means wanting something we don't have or think we don't have.
Right.
And then aversion means not wanting something that we have or think we might get. And then ignorance means really just being on the wrong track about it, just missing the boat, just not misunderstanding or spacing out.
Yeah, perceiving what's right in front of our eyes, actually. So in other words, suffering is caused by feeling we cannot be happy unless the reality around us meets our expectations. And that's not true, is it?
Well, not usually. I mean, there's superficial happiness that can come and go. But, you know, the Buddha said life was suffering. Now, this doesn't mean that we can't ever have a good day, but it means that as long as we, you know, tie our wagon to things that come and go, to things that are mm-hmm. that are tangible, then our happiness can come and go. And so if we realize that all suffering comes from those three things, it's sort of wanting, not wanting, or misunderstanding, then we can find the place within that. And whenever we're unhappy, we can find out which of those things it is. Are we wanting something, or are we not wanting something, or are we just misunderstanding?
And then we can make choices, and then we can make changes, and then we can not be at the whim of other people's needs, and we can create what's right for us with our own values and intuition and trust and all those other, great things that we talk about that we all wish we had.
But we can be much more detailed than that. What you said was true, of course. But, I've spent 40 years trying to work out the details. So we can say, I'm just going to change. I'm going to feel different. And we've all tried to do that. And sometimes we can do it, and hopefully we can do it. We all have that ability. But often it doesn't work as well, or we can't do it, or we can't sustain it. So what I talk about in Deep Happy is a very simple process of going in and step by step beginning to reconnect to all the places inside us that we resist, and then to begin to own being in our body again, because all the things that we're talking about are patterns in the body. Yeah. So there's very easy, very specific processes of going in and relaxing and integrating, and once you begin to do that, then you realize the body has this incredible ability to know things and to get intuitions and to understand things and to get very specific information. And so that's the beauty of it all.
Yeah, and you also tell us that certain yogic practices or energy healing practices like acupuncture, and I do Reiki, which is an ancient healing art, and meditation can help with curing disease or simply getting us to be more in touch with our own thoughts and needs. So could you tell us something about that?
Well, again, it kind of goes to what I was just talking about. Like, for instance, I've been an acupuncturist for 40 years. I've specialized in alternative psychiatry and issues of mood and behavior and so forth. And I get really very good success. And the reason I do that is because I study the detail. I study the physiology. I understand depression is not just some bad feeling, but that there are many kinds of depression and that there are very many, many styles of depression. And so when I see someone that's depressed, I just don't see a general person that's depressed. I see a person that has all these little intricate shifts in their physiology. Maybe their heart is closed down from a pattern, or their liver is tight, or their polarity is shifted, or they have a certain dental toxicity, or all kinds of things. A lot of things cause depression. And so when we really do this very specifically with training and information, what we find is that we can become very specific in how to heal someone and how to get them well fairly quickly and fairly safely. One of the big things we do
right.
is get people off meds.
Yes, even sometimes something like a few deep breaths, you know, people breathe into their chest, but a few deep breaths into the lower abdomen can change brain chemistry as much as 85% of the body's serotonin. And a lot of illness and a lot of discomfort starts in the gut. And all these health problems that begin in the gut, it's because many people are sensitive as children, and adults need to learn supportive techniques, much like the yogis and the monks did, to bolster their immune system. And it can begin with very simple things. Some of the simple things might be just activities in nature, or meditation, or music, or healthier foods, and better interactions. Now, that's a big topic. Better interactions with others, better relationships, better understanding of people so that we don't have to have expectations from them that they can't meet. And I believe you said something about trust. I also like this, Peter, very much. You gave a definition for the word trust, which was, trust becomes the ability to see who someone is rather than holding blind expectations about them. And I had to think about that for quite a while because it wasn't my usual way of thinking of trust. But actually, that is the problem. When we expect people to do things they're not able to do or not ready to do or not capable of doing, we become disappointed. But we really need to focus on our own development and growth and allow other people to expand at their own rate and learn at their own rate and give and share at their own rate. So what can you tell us about that? What did you mean by trust?
As we get clearer in ourselves, as we get opened up from all the habituations that keep the world in the glasses of our own vision. In other words, if we feel we've been traumatized or didn't have love or we're angry or whatever, we begin to see the world that way. But as soon as we discover this part inside us that's just fine, and we begin to heal and we begin to move all these outer parts and we begin to see things as they are, then trust becomes understanding and trusting who someone is.
Yes.
And seeing their abilities and their inabilities and trusting them to be themselves, trusting them to be Cheryl and trusting them to be Peter.
Yes.
And that way I can see that Cheryl, and I'm speaking hypothetically here, but Cheryl has a great integrity and a great wish to do well, but sometimes she doesn't see the bad side of people. So I can trust
that's
that.
That's absolutely right. That's correct.
I know.
I see the good in people.
I'm a medical intuitive. I tend to read people pretty quickly. And when I work with people on the phone, that's what I do. But anyway, you know, so I will trust you to see you, and I will understand that your beautiful personality and your beautiful conceptual reality of how you work in the world is you. So if I'm trusting Cheryl, I'm trusting Cheryl as a being, as a being with her own style of personality and affect and so forth, rather than just trusting someone blindly. And that's a big difference. That's a different kind of trust. But that's a real trust. That's a trust based on humanity and wisdom and clarity.
Yes.
And so that's a real trust. You know, we, yeah. you know, we,
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see, and I work towards this end, but of course it's not possible for all people. They will all reach this level at some point. But I think if we could all see people as they are, with their fears and limitations, and love them regardless of expectation, we would reach a state of higher love and peace within ourselves and true healing for ourselves. But it is in the knowing of self that ourselves. And self, that we can release the need to control others, and then we can really allow them to have their own thoughts and soul development, even if it is quite different from our own life path. And that's exactly what you just said. And this is how we're going to consider a state. This is how we're going to get to have a state of heaven on earth that people talk about, or personal freedom, or deep happiness. It is in the accepting and the allowing the unfoldment and evolution, and of course using energetic practices, healing, alternative healing methods, which are quite wonderful to be used with traditional medicine, that will make people more aware of who they are and the possibilities for their own personal state of well-being, health, and deep happiness within. Would you agree?
Who could disagree with that? You said it so well.
Okay, well, I just rephrased what you were saying, which I like very much. And you mentioned something I was very interested in, morphogenic field connections in consciousness that unite families and soul groups through time and space. And these ancestral conditions, or karma, might be at work more than most people realize. So there's another part of ourselves besides what comes from our biological connection to parents or our genetic pool. So can you tell us something about that?
Well, yeah. You know, obviously genetics is a big field these days, and you know they can really break it down and find all kinds of stuff. But genetics is not 100%. It's you know, for most things, it's a 30% possible expression depending on what happens. And I believe there's a lot of parts of genetics they haven't discovered yet. There's higher levels of it and more inner levels. But, you know, we do have a biological transmission from both lineage of our parents, the lineage of our father and mother and so forth. But there's also patterns that we learn from the families that I don't believe are genetic. It's also, you know, the family does things this way, or they have this energetic tone in the house, or they do things that way. They deny certain realities, or they accentuate certain realities, and so forth. But then there's also an energetic connection in the family. Rupert Sheldrake, the great writer and thinker, talked about morphogenic resonance. He had a book called The Presence of the Past, which he talks about this. The groups that link together in biology or consciousness or intent also create a field, because if we look in a quantum world,
yes,
the things that limit us are only a consciousness and intent, not time and space. And so as soon as we think bigger and broader, what happens is we realize that families also have a consciousness that connects one another, not just in the genetic, not just in the learned patterns, but also a field of consciousness outside of time and space, and that's the morphogenic field. And so, in some ways, we are connected to all of our ancestors.
To all of life, actually, and our DNA and the life force are continuous and eternal. And I want to thank you, Peter Fairfield, for sharing your wonderful observations about universal energy and giving the readers who will read your book the means, through your stories and discoveries in your book, Deep Happiness, many ways to open the doors of their minds and soul for a greater truth about who we are and how life can be valued in a new way. For more information and to purchase Peter's book, please go to peterfairfield.com. In summarizing today's
Actually, that's not the best place. You should go to deephappylife.com.
Okay, very good.
Deephappylife.com, that'd be great.
Great. Okay. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Peter and I have discussed living in connection and awareness of our sacred oneness with universal energy, and how by utilizing this knowing of our personal and collective energy life, we are able to merge enlightenment with our physiology and open new channels to our creative and expansive spiritual and physical lives. In balancing emotions, moods, and the demands of our daily life and by trusting in the process of our own divine plan, we begin to create and manifest better conditions for new situations, new people, and that brings personal healing. In the same way, by eliminating the fears and issues that restrict us from reaching beyond transitory moments of happiness, we may find a state of deep happiness, love, respect, and honor for ourselves and others. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and please go to CherylGlick.com or WebTalkRadio.net to hear leaders in the field of holistic health, spiritualism, energy and preventative medicine, higher consciousness, psychic and intuitive development, and stories, new views, and thoughts on the progress and evolution of our changing world.